Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Me'ilah Daf Chaf Aleph. We're holding at the last Daf of our Hadir Maseches Me'ilah. We're holding at the Mishnah, two lines from the top. So back to the Shlichos concept. Unlike the rest of the Torah, where we say in Shlichot Dvar Avera. So if Reuben sends Shimon to do an Avera on his behalf, who's responsible? Shimon, the actual doer. You can't blame it on the sender. By Me'ilah, it's different. We learn it from the connection to Truma, where the Shliach's action is credited to the Baal HaBayis, to the sender. It's just like by Truma. If you take it on behalf of the farmer, it goes onto his account. In similar fashion by Me'ilah, if Reuben sends Shimon to spend the Hegdish money on his behalf, of course we're speaking b'shogeg, it was inadvertent. Otherwise this whole concept of karban and the repayment wouldn't apply by Mezid. So b'shogeg, he asked him to spend certain money at a certain location. Then if the shliach actually does the shlichus, he carries it out properly as per his instruction, who's accountable? The sender. Provided they did his job. But if he deviated from his instructions, then it's his own doing and he's responsible, the shliach. Here comes a mission with some examples of this halacha. Amalai havali minachalai. So Reuven asks the fellow, bring me some money from the windowsill and, you know, spend it. Oy minat luskuma, from the some sort of container. And he did so. Vehavilo, he brought in the money, it was spent. Ava bishama Baal HaBayis, even though Baal HaBayis now claims, no, actually, it was the other wallet sitting on the window. So, lohei balibi elamizeh, I meant the other one. Vehavi mizeh, and he brought me the wrong one. Too bad, you didn't say it. Unexpressed, we'll see in the Gemara. Devarim shebalev, unexpressed words have no validity. The fact is, you verbalize something, X, he did X, you're responsible. Baal HaBayis Baal. But let's say he deviated. He took the wrong money from the wrong location and spent it. Avalim Amalei, but let's say he told the Shliach, Havali Menachaloi, spend the money from the windowsill, Vehavilei Menat Luskuma, instead he used the Luskuma money, or the exact opposite, Oy Menat Luskuma, he asked him from the Luskuma, Vehavilei Menachaloi, burn from the window. Who's responsible? Shliach, he is the mom. Now, you know, there's something to consider here, a shaila. Let's say he asked somebody to do something on his behalf. So we say the shliach who carried out his shlichus, but he did counts on account of the Baal HaBayis. Do we need a halachic shliach status here? Or perhaps merely orchestrating that end result is also considered the Baal HaBayis' responsibility. So for example, let's say you send somebody who's not really a valid shliach, a minor, a katan, a deranged person. So you can't really appoint him as a legal shliach regarding other matters in the Torah. What happens by Me'ilah? The fact is, you've arranged it, you've orchestrated via this medium, a robot. So the answer is, by Me'ilah, it need not be a bona fide, halachically, you know, valid shlichus for the sender to be responsible. Because here it's a matter of orchestrating, it's a matter of achieving the end result. Arrangement. Orchestration. That's the word. That's the concept here. In fact, we had yesterday even combining, right? Taking part for oneself and offering it to some. It's the orchestration that triggers the Me'ilah. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Shilach b'yad chayra, shayta b'kotna, he sent the money in the hands of a chayra, deaf mute, shayta, the range of a kotna minor, im osu shlichuse b'al b'ayis mal. If they did their job, b'al b'ayis is responsible, despite them not really having the true status of a shliach. Le'osu shlichuse, let's say they did not carry out his intention. And they, they went to the grocer, they gave him the money on account of the item. So, interestingly, in this case, Guess who's responsible? Guess who's left holding the bag? Chenvani Ma, the grocer. He does Mila when he actually spends the money later. Because, look, Babayis is off the hook. His instructions were not followed. He asked for milk, the fellow bought him orange juice. The Shliach is not a responsible individual. He's a Cheresh, Shaita Bekatan. So they're off the hook. Ultimately, the Chenvani, he's the one that receives the Hegdash money, which did not really experience a true Me'ila yet. Nobody had perpetrated Me'ila on it. So he's the one holding Hegdash money in its original status, and now when he spends it, he's committed Me'ila. The unlucky Chenvani, he's the Ma. Another case, Shilach Biad Pikeach. Reuven sends Hegdash money in the hands of a sane, you know, healthy person, responsible individual. But in this car, Achalegia Etzel HaChenvani. And the Baal HaBayis, and the Gemara will add that the Shliach as well, suddenly were jolted by awareness. Hey, that money is Hegdash money. And as we learned, this whole Me'ila consequence only applies to a Shogeg. So if he now knows, if he's aware, he's off the hook. So once again, who's left holding the bags? Chenvani Mal. Look, Shiyotzi, Chenvani is responsible. Because until it gets to him, nobody had committed Mila. So when he takes the money and spends it, he diverted it, he did Mila. Kate said, yes. So what should the Baal HaBayis do to spare the poor grocer from encountering Mila? He does a quick redemption. Noita Pruta, he grabs a Pruta, a Kli, or another item. But I mean, he says, Pruta Shal Hegdish, B'chol Makom Shehu, the Pruta of Hegdish, the money that's on its way to the grocer, wherever it is. Mechulal Al Zeh. The Kedusha should be transferred to this item right here, which renders that money Hegdash free, Me'ila safe. And you can do that, Shah Hegdash Nifta Bekesev, Uvishah Bekesev, because you can redeem Hegdash by transferring the Kedusha onto money or any item of value. Now back to the beginning of the Mishnah. He sent him to get money from location X, and he brought him from that location. Babayis is responsible, even if he claims, well, he didn't really have that in mind. My Kamashma, what's the point of that halacha? To teach us Dvarim Shivalei Veinim Dvarim. Unexpressed words. Words in your heart have no halachic legality. And since, in terms of your expressed intention, he followed his job, he followed your instruction, you're chayiv. Shiach bet chel shayt akotan, imosu v'chulu. Ask the Gemara, so you sent in the hands of a katan. You're responsible, but he's not a shliach. How could his action be applied to you? Amr Blazer, the answer is, you don't need it. Halachically valid shlichus for Mila. Here it's all about arrangement. It's all about orchestration. So even if he's a robot, asum kamata shalzeisim, it was treated like the basket of the olives that are sort of softening and rotting in anticipation of the oil press. It's not as we learn in Mishnah. Azeisim, olives, meimosim, mekalon tumah. At which point do they become able for a tumah? So halacha is that food has to come into contact with liquid to become a tumah enabled, become susceptible for acceptance of tumah. So these olives are pretty much, you know, they're presumed to be dry. At what point do they experience wetness? Now that wet, one more point, that wetness has to be nichale, Rashi says. Nichale, because the owner has to be pleased about the presence of that liquid. It can't just be a random rainfall. It must be something that he is happy with, that helps him, that's beneficial to the process. The answer is, once they start sweating, they start producing some, oozing some liquid, as they're sitting in the ma'atan, in this basket, in advance of the oil press, which softens them, makes it easier to press. So that liquid is something which is nichale, the owner's pleased with it. So coming into contact with that liquid is considered hechsher l'kabel tumah. Going forward, the zeisim are not susceptible. If they come in contact with tumah, they become tumah. But not the the moisture that develops while they're still sitting in the box, in the container, before being placed in the basket ahead of the oil press. Because that moisture is not nichala. He's not interested in that. But what do we see from here? That the moisture in the ma'atan, in the basket, is considered nichala. It's something that relates to the owner. It's like his doing. What do you mean it's his doing? Who did it? The basket did. The basket is an inanimate object. Rashi says, the matan, this matan, la bar zeya, it changes to das. La bar das is not a bar das. So whatever the basket so-called produced, why is that credited to the owner? Why is that considered the owner's doing? The answer is, we don't need a true shlichus for it to be considered qualifying liquid. It has to be something which the owner is pleased with. Circumstantially. It's there, he's happy with it. It was produced by way of an animate object, that's also fine. It's the presence of the liquid. It's the end result that matters. Same over here. You sent the money with a katan. True, the mass of a katan has no validity, has no halachic standing, cannot be attributed to the balabais who sent the it's not a real shliach. But it's not about the act, it's about the end result. The fact is, you have orchestrated this result. You've arranged this transfer of money, this diversion of hegdash funds by way of an adult, a katan, a robot. It's all one and the same. Rabbi Yechonamar, another example, by Erev. So you want to, you know, put down Erev Tuchum and mow the road. Yeah. Instead of troubling yourself out there, you send it on a, you put a program, a robot, put it down at, you know, GPS code 324, plop down the peanut butter, the can of peanut butter there. You can do that. So even though the actual act was not carried out by a true shaliach, it's your doing, it's your orchestration, that's enough. Reich Nomar, Kais Shanin, as we learned back in Mesechas Eruvin, Nesan El Gabi HaKoyf, he placed the Eruv material on the back of a monkey, and he had the monkey bring it to the location and deliver it there. El Gabi HaPil, or on top of an elephant, Velichai. It counts as an Eruv. Alma, apparently, called the Shlichusei, is considered doing the doing of your intended, project, so to speak. He carried out your intention. Achanam, you're as well. When the katan does your purchase with the mila money, with the kahedish money, Achanam is abish lichusay. His shlichus, his intention was carried out, and that's why it's credited to he's accountable. Shiachvet bekeach v'chu. So we have the fellow who was on his way to the grocer, and the owner becomes aware that the money is hagdish. Mishnah says the grocer ultimately will be doing the me'ila. Even though the shliach who's carrying delivering the money has not yet become aware of the nature of the money, meaning even though the shliach is unaware, he's a shaygig and he's playing a pivotal role in the transfer of this money, why isn't he responsible? Why isn't he doing me'ila? True, the Balabais is absolved because he's a mezid. But the shliach is in. Why is the grocer responsible? For a minimum of a kasha. This is Balabais, this is shliach. Balabais reminds me, not the shliach. Who's responsible? So it shifts over to the shliach. Hashliach mo. Not the achenvani, this is shneyem. Yeah. If both Reuven the Balabais and Shimon the shliach have become aware of the nature of this money, so they cannot be held accountable for me'ila. In this case, yeah, and Vani is the ma'al. And Rav Sheshes, my sister Nami, same thing in our Mishnah. It was more than just the Baal Bais that became aware. Baal Bais and the Shliach became aware. So they're off the hook. And Chanvani is the one left with me'ila. Okay, so in conclusion, a Mishalech who sends a Shliach, any type of Shliach, even a robot, if it was sent to Shoigig, his shlichus was carried out as per his wishes, he is the Mila committer. But if there was a deviation from his wishes, wrong location, wrong money, then he's not responsible. Okay, we spoke about cases where the chanvani actually could be the one stuck with Mila. In a case where the Babai sent money with somebody who didn't really do his job, so the chanvani is the next in line for the Mila. Or in a case where the Babai and the Shliach both became aware, so they're off the hook, and once again the chanvani is stuck. Okay, we discussed previously that Mila involves misusing Hegdish money with a minimum threshold value of a pruta, Shabbat pruta. So what happens is the Mishnah Nusnali pruta, back to the Ashliach. He sent a servant with a pruta. Varmalei says, tells him like this: Havali b'chetzio neiros, b'chetzio psilis. Split the pruta into two. Half you will with half you will buy neiros, lamps. With the other half of pruta you'll buy wicks. Now, if Shimon carried it out completely, who is the responsible party? Reuben the Malbais. What happened? Instead of doing half and half, Shimon took the whole pruta and applied it to psilos, or he applied it to a neiros. So in this case, who committed the meila? Well, technically nobody, because nobody's meila, nobody's diversion involved a full pruta. Look, Valbais asked for 50-50. He ended up using the entire pruta for the let's say for the neiros. So on half, I'm responsible, but on the other half, you're responsible because you deviated. Each one of us did not deviate a full pruta, so we're both pater. Or oish amar lei havli b'kula neiros. Or in the reverse, I asked him to use the entire pruta for neiros. Oh, you already asked him b'kula psilos, entirely for psilos, and he did half and half. So once again, everybody committed a part of mila, but not a full pruta worth, and they're both pata. V'olach ve'ebi v'chetzi neiros v'chetzi psilos. He took the pruta and split it. Half neiros, half psilos. So he deviated halfway, shneim le'mal, both are absolved, because each one did not deviate a full pruta. Avalam amalai. But let's say he told him, Havili b'chetzineris, no complaint. In the following case, the Shliach deviated completely on the entire pruta. How? Reuben says like this: take the pruta and split it 50-50. Havili b'chetzineris, no complaint. Half used to purchase neiris from store A. B'chetzio, with the other half, psilais, no complaint. Used to purchase psilais from store B. And he switched it around. So now the Shliach deviated with the entire amount. He's responsible. He went and he purchased the neiros from the psilos store. Upsilos he purchased from the neiros from the neiros store. So he deviated on the full amount. He did his own thing. Next case. He gave him two prutes. Formerly with instructions. Leich. Vavali Esrog. So Erev Sukkah says, buy me a nice Esrog for two prutas. In those days, an Esrog was worth just a couple of prutas. Tesis in Masechta Sukkah points that out. He says, the Gemara speaks about Esrog being worth very little. Pruta, two prutas. Very different than today. Okay, so he says, I want a two pruta worth Esrog. Fine. Volach, you know, and it's maybe for Shishan. He says, you know, let him get him a good deal. Shliach's thinking, why does he need such expensive Esrog? Two prutas? I'll make a good deal. I'll get him Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot in the same deal. V'olach ve'eviloi. What do you buy for the owner? Ba'achas Esrog. One pruta for an Esrog. V'achas Rimon. The other pruta. He bought a Rimon, a pomegranate for Rosh Hashanah. Shnei Moyalo. In this case, they both committed Mila. Why? Because the Baal Bayis' wish was fulfilled on the first pruta. He got him an Esrog as per his wishes, and the Shliach deviated on the second pruta. He purchased a remine by self-initiation, right? Unsolicited. So he did mila on the second pruta. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Owner is totally off the hook. Look, I wanted a nice fancy esrog. Give me a cheap little esrog. that's a total unfulfillment of my wishes. It's not like, you know, you brought me half. Half is nothing. Rabbi Da'imer, Balabai is like, Balabai is not responsible. Because he tells the Shliach, Esrik God Oisim Avakish. I was dreaming about a huge Esrik worth $2. They basically cut him a right, brought me this little miniature Esrik, poor quality Esrik. It's not like he brought me half what I asked for. It's a totally different entity. I'm off talk. Another example, clothing. He asked him to buy him a suit for X amount, and he brought him a suit for half the amount. Not only dinar zahav, he gave him a dinar zahav, a gold coin, which is worth 6 silvers. Vamalei tells him like this. Here's your instruction. Leich vavali chalak. Go buy me a chalak, a robe. Let's talk, you know, suits, okay? He asked him to buy a suit. An armani, a fancy suit. Valach vahibilei v'shloisha chalak v'shloisha talis. Return to the base. Use the 6 to buy 2 purchases. You got him a good deal. He says, why does he need such a fancy suit? 3 he used for the chalak, as per his instructions. V'shloisha talis, the other 3 he bought a talis, a different type of garment. Shnei me'al, once again, they're both in the me'ilai, because the shliach deviated on a substantial amount. And the Baal Bayis, at least on the first 3, he got his deal. Rabbi Da'imer, once again, no. I didn't ask for a cheap suit. Baal Bayis, like, no, Baal Bayis is not responsible at all. Shul Emelech, because he tells the Shlech, who asked you? Chalak Gadol is Mavakish. I was planning a nice fancy suit. They basically cut him right, brought me this little cheap suit. I'm not interested. Shamas me, no. Now, it would seem from the Tanakama that when you go down halfway, it's not like a brand new transaction. It is considered a partial fulfillment of your instruction, which results in the Baal Bayis being responsible for meal on that part. Is that true? And this has ramifications regarding all kinds of halachos, choshen mishpat. Let's say you ask somebody, buy me, you know, a 10-acre lot, and he buys him a 5-acre lot. Is it null and void? What do we say? Look, at least be happy with 5. It's just a reduction, but it's not a different type of transaction. The Mishnah sounds like that's in fact the case. Shamas Menor, we can conclude from this Mishnah, Ma Da'amar L'Shluch, a person instructs a shliach, an agent, Zil, Zavinli, Kur Da'ara, go, sell a kur, a substantial section of my property. Kur dara. Bozo was up in Lischa. And he went and he sold off only a lesser, which is half the amount. Kalila Kech, the purchaser, is now in possession. It's a legal deal. Transaction is valid. As we see in the Mishnah, that going halfway is still considered a portion of that original transaction. Amri, the answer is no. Perhaps generally we don't say that. Half is half of the original. Half is nothing. But the answer is here. He got him a fancy suit. The guy was on sale. 50% off. And he's thinking, look, I know he wanted to spend $2 because he wanted a nicer, high quality suit. Guess what? I got him a high quality suit for half the money. That's what he was thinking. And that's what we consider a fulfillment of his wishes, an actualization of his shlichus. Amri Yehacham Echadami. The answer is over here. You know what happened? Can I see Shabashesh? He brought him back a $6 suit, Bisholesh, which was priced at 3. It was a 50% deal. So since he got the same exact item that he wanted, meal is on his shoulders. Says the Gemara, okay, that's the case. What's Rabbi arguing about? He's not responsible. Because he can tell the shliach, who asked you for a cheap suit? Well, guess not, it's not a cheap suit. It's the highest quality suit. Be happy, got you a 50% deal. He can tell the shliach, I was expecting a nice big garment. They basically color cotton, but right, brought me a poor quality garment. Why? Why is he saying that? The answer is like this. The Amalei, Baal Bayis tells the Shliach, I understand you got me a good deal, a discount, 50% discount. But if only you would have spent the full amount as I asked you to do, you would have gotten me even a bigger discount. Because the more you spend, you know, bulk, the bigger it is, the more discount. The better quality item you would have brought me home. Domali, Avas, Dinar, Kule, if only you would have spent the full dinar, Isisly, you know what you would have brought me back? Shava Beis Dinar, something worth 2 dinar, double one. The Shita says maybe even more than that, right? And that's what he can claim. So you didn't do my bidding, you didn't do my my job properly. We'll even prove that this is the correct understanding here. That Rabbi Yehuda is based on this premise. The more you spend, the bigger the bonus. The ketani, because we have a brisa, which makes an exception. A case where even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Baal Bais is fully responsible. There's no premise of added bonuses. That's in a case where things are sold with exactness, with precision, you know, a dollar a pound. It's not like an item which you can evaluate and estimate and, you know, bump up. Itani might be the Rabbi Yehuda would agree with kitnis when he's sending him to buy kitnis beans. Shneimalo, in the case where he came back with the same volume discounted, they both did mila. Why? Shakitnis bepruta, shakitnis bedinar. Because it's the same exact amount, proportionally, that you get, whether you spend a pruta or you spend a dinar. Basically, it's not, you know, sold by estimation like a suit, like where, you know, you can round it up, you can, you know. So here, we're not expecting unexpected bonuses, in which case, even if you buy bulk, you'll still get the same discount, the same, you know, deal. Echidami. Now, what exactly, how exactly is it being sold? Either Ma'asra, the Zavni Bishum, if they're selling the beans, again, by estimation. So there, too, the assumption can be that the bigger the bulk, the bigger the discount. Kabikitnes Nami, the other seller, let's assume that you pay the full seller, you would get a bigger discount, a bigger deal, proportionate to a lesser, you know, a purchase. No, Baduchta, we're talking about a place, the Mazmini, they sell Bekani Kani. Kana has a certain value, a certain volume. They sell by volume. It's not like they sell you a sack and they'll throw you in, you know, an extra couple of pounds. They sell pound by pound. Kana, each volume costs you a pruta. The awesome pasuk masayu, well, there it's an exact, precise formula where you can't claim, well, you know, I you got me a discount, but if you would have spent more, you got a bigger discount, proportionate. No. You got the full discount, whether it's a smaller amount or a bigger amount. And there, in fact, the Baal Bais is responsible because he got what he asked for, although it was only a partial, he only spent part of the money. The fact is he got the full amount at a discount. Okay, so conclusion. The Baal Bais is only mayal when the shliach, you know, carries out his shlichus. If, in fact, he fulfilled his wishes in a full pruta amount, but otherwise, it depends. The shliach deviated on the full pruta, and he's responsible. If it's 50-50, nobody's responsible. We spoke about some cases where he only spent part of the money. It turns out that he got a discounted deal. Tanakama says both committed mila, which Rabbi Yehuda says in cases where he can claim that he was shortchanged, and the Baal Bais is off the hook. Next Mishnah. Mafkid Mois is a shulchani. A fellow entrusted a shulchani, a money changer, a banker who deals with coins and money. He gave him some money to hold on, to watch for him. Can the shulchani use it? In tzerurin, if they're tied up, closed up, sealed up, lay off. That's an indication that he doesn't want you to use it. Yishtamish ben. Lefichach. And therefore, if it turns out that this money was really Hegdish money that he gave to the Shulchani to watch, and the unlucky Shulchani used this money, was unauthorized usage. He had no permission. If he spent it mal, he committed mila. But imutar, if the money is untied, the pouch is untied and accessible, that's an indication that the Baal Bais is okay with him using it, because he's cognizant of the Shulchani's need to access change and money on a regular basis. He knows that he's probably going to use it. So it's tantamount to implicit, you know, permission. Yishtamash money can use it. Therefore, if it turns out to be Hegdish money, the Shulchani is not responsible. Baal Bais is responsible because he brought it about. He caused it. That's by Shulchani. He was known to access money. But it's a Baal Bayis. You give it to a regular Baal Bayis to watch. Whether it's tied or untied, you shouldn't be using it. So that's why if he used it and it turned out to be Hekdash money, it's his responsibility. What about a grocer who, occasionally needs some change, but he's not as it's not as frequent as a Shulchani. So what's the mindset when you give him money? Do you expect him to use it or not? Which means no permission. Yes, permission. He noticed a quarter falling into his money pouch, and he lost it in there. The Hekdash money lost. Or he pledged a quarter in this packet as Hekdash. As soon as he spends the first quarter, he committed Mila. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Why? Rabbi Akiva holds even Safek Mila is responsible. Let's bring a carbon. No. He's not responsible until he definitely committed Mila, which is at the very last coin. In the following case, that it's the very last coin that's Mila. When he says, Pruta min kis ze hekdash. I want a Pruta from this kiss to be hekdash, and the Gemara will explain. What he said was that this money pouch will not be depleted until, without leaving some, a coin for the Hekdash, indicating that the last coin will be Hekdash. So in this case, even Rabbi Akiva agrees, you can spend and spend until the very last coin, which is Hekdash. You can spend all the money at Yates called Kiz until he gets to the very last, until the very end. Now, why is that so? The Gemara will, will answer this, as we explained, but before we get to that, a couple of steps. Kiyas Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came, Omar, he says, Rami Lay. Rish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yechon. How do we explain this halacha? Why does Rabbi Akiva agree in this case that you can wait to the very last coin? Maishna Reisha. Why is it different than the Reisha where as soon as he spent the first coin, Rabbi Akiva holds him responsible? Maishna Seifa versus the Seifa where you have till the very end. Amar Lehi says Seifa, the Seifa is speaking by him where he specified. Well, Pater, like Pater, like to exempt. This kisseh will not be exempted from Hekdash. Well, you put the kisseh in a Hekdash, implying that, the very last one is okay. Kiyosu Rabin Amar, when Rabin came, he had a different version of this question. Kis nashvarin Ramalei, Rabbi Yechanan, a contradiction from the case of the pouches in our Mishnah, versus the oxen. This is now we have a Mishnah. Imar Echad Mishvari Hekdash, a person pledges, one of my oxen will be Hekdash, without specifying. Hoylo Shnaim, he had two. Hagadosh Ben Hekdash, we assume the better quality one is the Hekdash. We assume Rashi says Ba'ayin Yafim Hekdash, a person is generous when it comes to donations. But we have an implication. Now, suppose they were not different in quality. You had two equally qualified animals. We assume it's the first one that comes to his hands versus the last case in our Mishnah. Where's the last coin? Why? Amalisi says the same answer that we gave, Seifa, the final halacha in the Mishnah, speaking, but anyway, he says, Le'yipater, kiss him in the Hekdash, implying that it's the last one. Here comes yet a third version of this discussion. Rapapa Amar, kiss na lugin ramal. He asked him from the kiss in now Mishnah, it's the case of the lugin, the wine, the lug of wine, the lugs of wine. Ramal, that's what he asked him, the snan, or the san, you have a discussion regarding a fellow who's on the road, and he recalls that he has wine sitting at home, which he wants to use tomorrow for Shabbos, but he can't take off Truma on Shabbos. He initiates the separation process today, pending the separation after Shabbos. Halakech yayin min hakusim, a person purchased wine from the kusim. This was a point in history where they were not reliable in terms of hafrashas trumas and maisis, but they were not considered like goyim. You were allowed to buy from them. So he has to look after the truma. The Meister, he can't do it practically now. So what is he verbalizes it. He verbally commits himself to take care of it in the future. That's okay. It's called Yesh Bereira. Later, when he actually identifies the Truma, which he verbally committed to now, retroactively, it was confirmed that, in fact, this is the one I had in mind. So you can start the process now and complete it later. Aymer held a clear Shnei Lugin, two lugs of wine, Shani Yosel Havash, which eventually, after Shabbos, I will put aside, Hari and Truma, I'm labeling them as Truma. And he can drink the wine until the very end, and the last little bit of put aside. Asura, 10 lug is Maaser Rishon, Tisha, 9 is Maaser Sheni, Mechel V'Sheisim Yad, and he does the conversion on the Maaser Sheni, which you can do no problem, onto money, V'Sheisim Yad, and he sits down and has a drink. Tevira Meir, based on the idea of Yesh Breira. So even though he hasn't identified the Truma yet, he hasn't separated the Maaser, he can do it later, retroactively. Which is similar to the Halacha in the Mishnah here, where you can wait to the last coin. So even though that Hekdesh is mixed up with the rest floating around somewhere in this, don't worry, wait to the last coin and that will be designated as Hekdesh. Same thing here. We have Truma and Maaser floating around in this barrel, no problem. You can leave it for last. That's Rabbi Meir Shita, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. No, they don't hold the Breira concept, Eishrin, they don't allow this process. So bottom line, Rabbi Meir seems to contradict the three Tanaim who don't allow it seem to contradict the Halacha now Mishnah where we can wait until the last coin. Amar Leis, so once again he answered, our Mishnah is different where everybody would agree. You can leave it for last. Amar Leis, save it to Masnissen. Ba'ayma was speaking that he said, Lo'yipater kisem and ahegdish, indicating that in fact it's the very last coin, which will be hegdish. Okay, Hadron Aloch HaShaliach She'asa Shlichusoy Uslika La Maseches Me'ila. Thank you so much for learning together this wonderful Masechta. May we be Zeicha to march ahead all the way to the finish line, to finish Hashas, Be'ez Hashem B'Karev, Gezunta Heit, B'Simcha, as much Hatzlach HaSiyat L'Shmaya. And the lesson from our Masechta, perhaps, can be connected to a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, Ein lecha adam, there's no man, she'en lecha she'en isha, without a specific time. Every man has his time, his opportunity. Ve'en lecha davar she'en lecha makom, nor is there an object without its place. There's a time and place for everything, and for everyone. Maseches Me'ila speaks about deviation, diversion. And the lesson, perhaps, is that no, everything, Hashem designated for everything a specific time and place, specific purpose, destiny. Each one of us with his own talents, with his own mission. And the point is that we should be zeicha, we should appreciate the value of our individuality, of our talents, of our abilities, of our kishreinus, of our God-given talents, and utilize them properly. Actualize our potential and the potential of our surroundings, our environment. Use everything for its intended purpose, its intended function and mission to bring about the Shekhinah down here in this world and ultimately to bring about the redemption. Amen. So maybe be zeicha to recognize and appreciate the importance of every item, every experience, the value of ourselves, to believe in ourselves and our abilities. Lulei Hamanti, you know, the Baal Turim writes, Lulei Hamanti, which we say towards the end of Odav Hashem Oiri, he says, Lulei is Rosh Tevois El. David HaMelech is saying, look, if not for the fact that I kept on believing, despite my scoffers and detractors and enemies. Enemies could be physical enemies, could be spiritual enemies, could be negative moods within the person. Try to pull them down and despair. Stop believing in your ability to succeed. No, Lule Yamadi, I would have stopped believing. I would have given up a long time ago. No, I kept on believing. And that's why I ignored my scoffers. I ignored my naysayers. Lule Yamadi, it's only because I kept on believing. Liro is betuv Hashem veretz chayim, that I have the ability to reach the greatest heights. Elo is a time for believing in oneself, believing in one's abilities, to strive higher, to reach the greatest heights, to succeed in our mission, each individual, each person, and of course with what Hashem had in mind for us. Maybe we zeichet a good given shtir to bring about the Yerushalayim all together, all of us. B'mehar v'yameinu. Amen.
I know you've been always since the Zeus after you know. He long always be your know. Oh, he's big, you don't know. You've been always since the Zeus after you know. He long always be your you know, give on the voice, we owe you. Now give it.